memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Thus, death is devouring every living entity at every moment. But the last stroke is called death itself. That death is Krishna. As for future development, all living entities undergo six basic changes. They are born, they grow, they remain for some time, they reproduce, they dwindle, and finally they vanish. Of these changes, the first is deliverance from the womb, and that is Krishna. The first generation is the beginning of all future activities. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience, are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and is therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti and the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary is intelligence, medha, another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness, driti. And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, he has the opulence called patience, shama. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 34, translation. I am all devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Can I get? So in the previous verse, Krishna describes that he is time and he is also creator. So one of the functions of time is to annihilate, destroy, give death. Death is compulsory. Death, mrityu, is for every living entity. And Krishna says, I am this all-devouring death. When does a man die? When he becomes old. Agreed? They don't agree. Then when he dies, when his body is not proper working, agreed? They don't agree. Then when does man die? When heart stops and brain stop functioning. Agreed? No. When his time is over. Agreed? No. Man dies every moment. As soon as one person is born, he starts dying, not living. Every moment we die. And finally, it is called death. The final stage, which is called death, is not an event. It is a process. Like somebody cooks. So we call it food. When do we call it food? At the end, when it is cooked. But in this is the whole process of cooking. It's all food only. In the same way, we are all dying at every minute, every second, every moment. We are going closer to death. Finally, when the time comes, when the body doesn't work, when the soul leaves the body, we call it an event called death. But the whole process is also called death. What we call life, or what we call living, is actually the process of death. And death is compulsory. Every person who has taken birth has to die. Nobody can stop death. However wealthy, powerful, high position, intelligent person may be, he can't avoid his death. And when death comes, everything is taken away. We can't negotiate with death that please give me few more years or few more days or few more moments. We can't negotiate with death that can I carry my number and mobile for next life, or can I carry my money for next life, or can I carry my degree for next life, or can I have same address or same family members. No, we can't negotiate with death. Neither we can ask more time, nor we can ask to carry forward something. Death will come and finish everything. Nothing can be carried forward as our possession. Hiranyakashipu, he was so powerful. He performed so severe austerities that even Brahma was surprised. Hiranyakashipu stood on his fingers on the fingers of his feet. He stood like this with raised hands for thousands of years. As you stand in Bombay local, same way. Of course, Hiranyakashipu had one benefit. Nobody was pushing him. So Hiranyakashipu was standing like this for thousands of years. So much so, forget eating and drinking, all the ants and insects, they ate all his flesh, skin, blood, organs. Only skeleton was remaining, only bones were remaining, and he kept alive himself within the bones. He performed so severe austerities. Lord Brahma told Hiranyakashipu, up till now nobody has performed so severe austerities, and in the future also nobody will be able to perform so severe austerities. That Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal. He wanted to go beyond death. He wanted a boon where he will not die. But Brahma said, even I will die. How can I give you a boon of not dying? So Hiranyakashipu thought, I will trick Brahma. And he asked several boons, thinking that by these boons I will never die. He told Brahma, I should not die inside, I should not die outside, I should not die up, I should not die down, I should not die in the day, I should not die in the night. I should not die by any man, I should not die by any animal, I should not die by anybody created by you, I should not die with weapons, etc., etc. He asked so many boons, and Brahma said, okay, these are difficult, but I will give you. So then Hiranyakashipu thought, I am immortal, I have overcome death, because if I am not supposed to die inside, outside, up, down, with weapons, inside, day, night, man, animal, it's almost immortal. But Hiranyakashipu didn't knew that somebody more intelligent than him. These demons, these foolish rascals, they think they are great, but they don't know, they are not Mahan, they are Lahan, they are Gahan. Very small, tiny people. And Krishna came as Narsingadev. And Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu. He killed him on his lap, on the door, in the evening time, dusk time, neither inside nor outside, nor up nor down. He killed with his nails. They are not called weapons. If you go to the airport security, where weapons are not allowed in the flight, will they say, oh, remove your nails and go? No, they are not weapons. But he killed him with his nails. On his lap. It's not called up, neither Akash, nor Dharti. On the door, not inside, not outside, neither day, nor night, neither man, nor animal. He was half man, half lion. And he killed him. Nobody can escape death. There's a very popular story in Puranas, or maybe Mahabharata. Once, Lord Vishnu, he visited Kailash. He visited Shivlok, Lord Shiv. So when he reached Kailash, he parked Garuda outside. He told Garuda, you be outside, I will go and meet Shivji. Garuda is a very, very big bird. He can go thousands of miles in not even 1 second, less than that. So Garuda was outside and Lord Vishnu went inside to meet Shivji. And Garuda was sitting there and he saw such a beautiful and big Kailash Parvat, such a big mountain, so much snow touching the sky and so much vegetation and so many forests, so many trees and so many fruits and flowers and lakes. Very Kailash is very beautiful, much much more beautiful than Swargaloka, heavenly planets. And heavenly planet much much more beautiful than Switzerland or Shimla or Mathuran. So Kailash is very beautiful. So as he was seeing, he saw a small bird, sparrow type bird, very tiny, on one of the branch of the plant. And he thought, see Vishnu, my master is so powerful. He makes such a big creation like Kailash Parvat, and he makes such a small creation like tiny bird, and both are beautiful. Both are perfect. Both are complete units. A bird has everything to fly. If you want to make an object to fly, like a flight, aeroplane, so much scientists and engineers have to work hard to make an aeroplane. They have to have fuel, they have to have fan, they have to have engine, they have to have radar system, they have to have sensors, wheels, so many things. But a bird, what all it has? Everything. And a bird can fly. Have you ever read in Times of India, two birds were flying and collided each other, an accident happened, an explosion happened, and they died? No. What powerful radar they have. These insects, you seen insects flying? Such a small body, what all they have? What engine they have to fly? You see below a bulb, you see thousands of insects buzzing with high velocity, but not a single collision will happen. Can you have such thousands of aeroplanes buzzing with high capacity? No, they will all crash. So that's Krishna's creation, that Vishnu's creation, very marvelous. So Garuda was thinking all this, that such a big parvat is there, such a big forest is there, and such a beautiful tiny bird is there, and all are marvelous. Inside meeting is going on between Shivji and Vishnuji. And Garuda is outside thinking all this. At that time, Yamraj came. He parked his vehicle outside, bull carrier. And then Yamraj saw the tiny bird. And Yamraj had a surprise on his face. And he moved his eyebrows. But then he left, didn't say anything to Garuda, didn't say anything to the bird. He left. And Garuda saw the whole scene, and the bird also saw. And the first thought bird had is, this Yamraj is seeing me like this, he may kill me today. Yamraj glancing on you is not considered a very good sign. And Garuda thought, this Yamraj, he saw this bird and moved his eyebrows. This Yamraj, I think, will kill the bird today. The bird's time must have come. But such a tiny, wonderful creature, helpless. I think the Yamraj, when he goes back out of the meeting, he will take the soul of bird and go to Yamloka. Maybe I should protect the bird. The bird is my sister. I am also a bird. This tiny creature is also a bird. So Yamraj, before he comes, I will take the bird and leave somewhere else. And Garuda took the bird in his talons, in his feet, and in one movement went thousands and thousands of miles away in a forest and put the bird on a rock near a lake and came back. This all happened not even in 1 second, in one movement. And then when Garuda came back, he thought, now Yamraj can't reach. This bird is protected. So when Yamraj came out, he saw the bird is not there. Then he spoke to Garuda, how are you? Everything is okay. Garuda said, my dear Yamraj, I have one question. He said, what? He said, when you came, you saw a bird and your face was surprised. You moved your eyebrows. Why? What happened? Were you going to take the soul of the bird when you were going back? Yamraj said, no. When I was coming here, I read a list of all people who are going to die today. And when I came here, I saw the bird, which was on the list, is supposed to die today. But I remember the location of the death of this bird was thousands of miles away by a python who is going to eat that bird. So when I came here, I saw the bird here. I thought just in few minutes the death is going to happen. How will this bird reach that thousands of miles away? Because there are no pythons on Kailash. So I was surprised. But then because I had to go for a meeting, so I didn't think about it. I just went. And Garuda was surprised. This is how death comes. Garuda wanted to protect the bird, but actually he became an instrument of Yamraj. And where he dropped the bird on the stone, after Garuda flew away, this python came and ate the bird, and the soul went to Yamloka. That's death. Nobody can escape death. The very means, the very formula we utilize to protect ourselves from death will kill us when death has to come. Nobody can protect oneself from death. So this death represents Krishna. Then the birds. Whatever is going to happen in the future has a seed in the past. Whatever event has going to happen in the future, there is some origin event which makes the other events happen. So that origin event is Krishna. Any event which gives future development, future events, future motion, future changes, that is Krishna. Krishna is the original generating principle. Even this creation originates when the universe come out from the pores of Mahavishnu. Then everything happens. So that's caused by Vishnu. Even when Mahavishnu glances on Mahatattva, then everything happens. So that's the basic generating principle of the creation. And the cause of that generation is Krishna. So death, which is all devouring, represents Krishna. Birth, which is a seed of all future events and developments, represents Krishna. Last time we discussed there are six changes. Every object or body undergoes under the influence of Kal, time. Who remember the six changes? Birth, growth, produces byproducts, stays for some time, dwindles, vanish. So birth, growth, stays for some time, gives byproducts, dwindles and dies. These are the six changes. Every object, every body, every matter, every material object undergoes. So this birth, the beginning, represents Krishna. Death, the end, represents Krishna. Creation is Krishna. Annihilation is Krishna. Maintenance is Krishna. Beginning is Krishna, end is Krishna, middle is Krishna. Krishna is all pervading, everywhere. And foolish atheist people say, God doesn't exist. Arre, you exist. And that word exist is because of Krishna. You exist because of Krishna. So your existence is a proof that God exists. If God was not existing, even you can't exist. Our very existence is proof that our Creator exists. This body has a beginning and end and middle. Who is that Creator? Who is that Destructor? Who is that Maintainer? And that's Krishna. So I am Mrityu, I am Death, I am generating principle of all future, of whatever comes, the first event is Krishna. Then Krishna goes on saying, among women, I am seven qualities. We'll write down. We have pen? Akshay, write down. In sequence, one by one. One. Fame. Second. Fortune. Third. Fine speech. Fourth, memory. Fifth, intelligence. Sixth, steadfastness. STEADFAST. One word. Steadfastness, NESS. Seventh, patience. First, thank you. So these are seven feminine qualities. In other words, these qualities are considered feminine, whether present in females or males. They are considered feminine qualities. Krishna says, I am these qualities. Fame, yash, popular, for any reason, a person may be popular, for good reasons or bad reasons, popular in the world. So that fame is Krishna. Fine speech, sorry, fortune. Fortune means Shri. Shri means opulence, beauty, or fortune. So Lakshmiji is called Shri because she is beautiful and she is opulent. She is called goddess of fortune. She is husband of, she is wife of Krishna. Krishna is her husband. So there are four fortunes, four Aishwaryas, four opulences, which generally are considered opulence in the material world by Jivas. One is good birth, one is beautiful body, one is good education, another is wealth. People like to have this. All people want to look nice, beautiful, handsome. All people want to have lots of wealth, and all people want to have good knowledge. So these are considered, and then good birth, but that is not in our hands. So these are considered four Aishwaryas, four opulences. A devotee should not desire for all this. He should desire to develop dependence on Krishna, surrender to Krishna. If somebody has one or four of this opulence, they should be used in Krishna's service. If we don't utilize our wealth, our beauty, our birth, our knowledge in Krishna's service, then these opulences will obstruct our surrender to Krishna, because they will give us pride, they will make us proud, and a proud person cannot depend on Krishna. And in the absence of dependence on Krishna, we will not be completely surrendered to Krishna. And if you are not completely surrendered to Krishna, we can't board Vaikuntha Express. We can't go back home, back to Godhead. So whatever the condition and position may be in our life, we should develop this feeling of dependence. Completely dependent on Krishna. When we associate and hear Bhagavatam, when we associate with devotees and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then we develop this feeling of dependence. That yes, I am servant of Krishna. Whatever I have belongs to Him. He is all pervading, cause of all causes. Vasudevam sarvam iti. So I should serve Krishna. So fine speech, vak, it is necessary for any person to become successful, female as well as male, to have fine speech, to choose our words in such a way that we speak our message, we convey our message, we speak truth. At the same time, we don't be rude. We don't hurt others. If we hurt others, then our relationships will be destroyed. Even somebody has good intentions, but not good language, then he may not be able to benefit others. He may not be able to convey truth. He may not be able to help others. Because people can't see our intentions. However good they may be, people can't see our intentions. But they can hear our words. They can hear our language. We can't be rude to somebody, be harsh to somebody, hurt somebody and say, I had good intention. People can't see our intention, so we can't use that as a defense. So not only we should have good intentions, good motives, clean heart, but you should have, one should have fine speech. That doesn't mean one should speak lies. One should not speak lies. One should not cheat. One should be truthful. One should be honest. Truth hurts. That doesn't mean we don't speak truth. But we should know to maintain our relationship. Same truth. We have to choose our language in such a way that people accept it also. This is in general. Those who are preachers, sadhus, they have to speak truth. They may not speak sweetly. Because they have to cut illusions. You can't tell a doctor who is about to operate with a knife, "Sva dheere se karna." Cut softly. No, cut is cut. So when illusions have to be cut, then sharp instruments of words are required. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, that sadhu who flatters me, instead of speaking sharp words to cut my illusion, that sadhu is my enemy. So those who are sadhus who have to cut illusions of their audience, they are truth sayers. They may not be sweet speakers. And those insincere souls reject such association, thinking that this sadhu is not speaking sweetly. Better let me go to that sadhu who smiles sweetly and speaks sweetly. Then they are going to develop not friends but enemies in the name of friends, in the garb of friends. If you want to hear sweet speeches and flattery of yourself, then you go to some air hostess in a flight. Don't come to sadhus. They will speak sweetly, smile nicely and flatter you by saying sir and madam. That is air hostess job, not sadhu's job. Sadhu's job is not to sweetly smile and sweetly flatter and say sir, madam, and put a person in illusion, more into illusion. Sadhu's job is to cut the ego, and when cutting happens, blood comes, pain happens. When operation happens, pain happens. When open heart surgery happens, pain happens. Blood is lost. So if somebody wants to cut their illusions, they should be ready for that pain. So sadhu's job is to speak in such a way that a person's anarthas and desires, which are hidden deep in the heart like infection, come out on the surface. And as soon as those desires and anarthas come out on the surface, he should use the sharp knife of his words and cut them, so that person advances towards Krishna. That is ultimate speech. They are truth sayers. We, in this world of hypocrisy, everywhere, we are taught to have good communication skills, which means to be hypocrite and pretend and speak sweetly, softly, smile sweetly. That's good for your material job. But if you want to hear and cut your illusions, you should not judge a sadhu by these communication skills. That I learned this in MBA class, but this devotee doesn't have this, so he is rejected. No, that's not true. We should know this. So vak, fine speech. Then smriti, memory. Memory means what somebody reads or hears, they remember later on. That's memory, that's good quality. Then medha, intelligence. Intelligence means not only reading and hearing different subject matters, but understanding them and also applying them. That's buddhi, that's medha, that's intelligence. An intelligent person takes to Krishna consciousness because he understands that this is the best process. This is the only process. After hearing that I am servant of Krishna, one should serve Krishna. Then steadfastness. Steadfastness means being firm. In spite of various situations and circumstances in life, one should be firm and determined that yes, this is my duty and I should do it. Patience. A person who is humble, who is gentle, who is equal in profit and loss, honor and dishonor, is called patient. Person who performs his duties and knows, has faith that results will come as per Krishna's mercy, as per laws of nature, and continues to perform his duty, that is patient. So Krishna has highlighted these seven qualities of females. So we'll do one exercise now. In pairs, you select your partner. Take a pen and paper. Write down the seven qualities. Against each quality, write down the name of a female devotee from scriptures who has exhibited this quality. Who has exhibited this quality. Then you write down the event or the reason also where that quality was exhibited. Clear? Do it in pairs. Give paper and pen. One in one pair. So each quality you write down a name. More than one name is also okay. And female devotee who has exhibited this quality, and you write down an event or a pastime which proves that. Clear to everybody? Okay, you have 7 minutes. Hare Krishna. Try to write separate different names. Huh? One easy way to solve is like Radharani everywhere. Radharani, Radharani, Radharani. Finish. Don't do that. अच्छी बात अच्छे तरह बात चलेगा done one more minute Okay, please put your pens down. Okay, please put your pens down. We'll go with the answers now. You have a seat. Okay, so each group will go one by one quality. You tell the name and the reason why you have put that name. Okay? Fame. We'll start with Mataji's. Fame. So if you have put the same person but different reason, still you can tell. If you have put the same person and same reason, then you omit. Fame. They are famous. Good. Speak louder. Fame, that's all. Fame. Next group. Huh? And? तो क्यों फेमस है वो? किनको बचाया? वो तो मर गया, कहाँ बचाया उसको? लेकिन वो तो फेमस है, इधर कितने लोगों को मालूम? Okay, and Lakshmi Devi is famous. Okay, next. Oh. So, Mirabai is famous. Huh? Mirabai is famous devotee. No doubt about it. But she is not in any parampara. Knowledge or devotional service has to be done under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master coming in some parampara. Then we accept such a devotee as our acharya or as a role model and learn. So Mirabai is no doubt famous devotee, but she doesn't come in any parampara. She never declared herself to be part of any sampradaya or any bona fide spiritual master, etc. So we can't accept her as a role model. Yeah, she is famous, we can describe that, but we don't accept her as a role model. Okay? Next, fame. Why she is famous? Yes, she made even Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh as her child. Next, fame. Who has different answer? Raise your hands. Yes.
By birth only she was very popular in the everywhere by her power, by her uniqueness of her work. After her own show got more popular.
Okay, good. Yes. Rukmini Devi. Why is she famous? Queen of Dwarka. Very nice. Yeah. Yes. Next, fame. Yeah. Yes, Swapnil.
Draupadi ji. She was very famous at the occasion of her Swayamvara. Many big big kings came. Pandavas came. Kaurav came. Many were there. All got attracted.
Yes. Fame. Next. Any different answer? Yeah. She is famous for service to Radharani. Okay, fine. Next. Fame. Okay, any different answer? That's done, that answer is done. Any different answer? Okay, nice. Second, fortune. Okay, you raise hands. Yeah. Swapnil.
Goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. She is goddess of fortune.
Yes.
Yashodavaya, Krishna accepted her as her mother.
So? Fortunate, that's Bhagyashali. Here fortune more refers to opulence. Okay.
Yamuna Devi, because Lord Shri Krishna performed pastimes in the river as well as.
So that's again good fortune type. Okay. Yes. Okay, here fortune more means opulence, Aishwarya, not Bhagyashali, though that is also there. Okay? Fortune, next, fortune. So she is fortunate. Okay, opulence. Yeah, skills are opulence. Next, fortune. Louder. Kubja. How is she for in that category of fortune? That's fortunate. She had Chandan, she served Krishna and she became very beautiful. Krishna was pleased. That's fortunate. Bhagyashali. Okay. Fortune. पीछे आप लोगों ने कुछ नहीं लिखा फॉर्च्यून के बारे में. ओके ओके ओके. फाइन स्पीच पीछे, फाइन स्पीच. जिसने आंसर नहीं दिया है उनका आंसर लेंगे पहले. दशरथ दक्ष. ओके, फाइन स्पीच. यस, okay, fine speech. Yes, Venugopal, Rukmini Devi.
Occasionally, sir, during the talks between Krishna and Rukmini Devi, she patiently heard everything and given a nice answer to each and every allegation.
Very nice. Yes, fine speech. Kishore.
Yes, sir. Whenever Krishna stays better from mother,
okay, nice. Okay, Shanti, let us hear the answers, okay? Yes. Who? Nityanand Prabhu. Mahaprabhu ek hi hai. Okay, nice. Fine speech.
Saraswati Devi.
How?
They explain many guns.
So whenever some demons, they abuse Krishna, the words which come on the tongue of the demons is actually glorification of Krishna. But the demons think they are abusing. These words on the tongue of demons are given by Saraswati in such a way that the demons think they are abusing Krishna, but actually Krishna is never abused. These words are chosen in such a way that they have another meaning. That's fine speech. Krishna is always glorified even by demons. Like one example is Hiranyaksha. When he saw Varadev lifting Mother Earth and going to the surface of the ocean, he chased him and abused him like anything from behind. Very bad words he gave. One of the words he uses, Varna Gochara, calling him a hog, that you are dweller of the forest. Varna Gochara. Varna means forest, Gochara means wandering. That you are forest wala, jangli. Jangli. Varna Gochara means jangli. But Saraswati used this to explain. Varna Gochara means Krishna always dwells in Vrindavan forest. Varna Gochara. And that's true. Krishna dwells in Vrindavan forest. So So that's Saraswati's job. Very nice. Good. Next, fine speech.
Mohini
Mood. That's done. Fine speech. Any another example of fine speech? Yes. Prayers of Queen Kunti. Whole chapter is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's fine speech. Okay, next is memory. Smriti. Who has not spoken? Yes, Chirag. Shikhandi. First of all, you decide he or she. Good, good. High memory of all the births. Remember, I have to kill Bhishma Dev. Okay, next. Memory. Yes, Manoj. What? Wait. Don't speak in between. You always remember the past. Good. Memory. Yes. Mother Sita. Memory. You are not in the group. Wait. Memory. Any other example? Yes. Same. Same. Yes.
Kaikeyi Mata. Bharat's mother. In earlier युद्ध एक बार युद्धों में हुआ था वहां पे इनको वरदान दिया था उनको याद था
वो याद था वेरी गुड दैट्स मेमोरी ओके इंटेलिजेंस मेधा हु हैज नॉट स्पोकन अमेंद्र एंड ग्रुप हु सुग्रीव Okay. We are discussing female devotees' characters. Sugriv, you say. Sugriv is not female, right? Okay. Okay, fine. Intelligence. Medha. Yes. Okay. Next. Mohini Murthy. Yes. She used her intelligence. Next. Okay, fine. Intelligence. Next, intelligence. Yes.
Queen Kunti, she protected the Pandavas and she had a very nice education so that she can have a good education.
Okay. Medha. Next, different answer. Who is speaking? 1 minute. Gargi Mata. Kon?
Santati.
Acha, kon se shastra mein? Okay, fine. Yes. Yes, okay. Last, patience, Shama. Okay, steadfastness, Driti. Yes, Janmajaya.
Draupadi never left her husband in difficulties.
Yes, okay. Next. So many difficulties here. Next. Sita Devi also. Yeah.
We are reading Putana. In spite of knowing that she will die, she went to kill Krishna.
Putana will be so happy to hear this. Devotees are so creative. Next, Dhriti, steadfastness. Any different answer? Baki logo ne same answer likha hai? Okay. Patience. Yeah.
Kunti Maharani. Patience in all communication.
Okay. Yes. Okay, yes. Sita Mata.
Draupadi.
Draupadi.
Her children were killed by the Sutama. But he...
But?
Samaka, no one is
called. That's not for... That's forgiveness. That is on the patience. Yeah.
Tulsi Devi. She was like she was even though cursed that you will have to take birth again and even with her other husband and after that she will again go to Krishna. She was patient for that.
Yeah, Manoj. Devki. Already told, yeah. Venugopal?
Devuti.
Devuti. What event?
Immediately after marriage, Ekadu really went for a meditation. She served him with the patience for 5 days.
Very nice. Yashoda Maiya. What event?
For all the troubles that Mana gave her, she never lost patience.
Okay. Yeah. So these are not ordinary qualities, you see. So many leelas are there in which female devotees have exhibited these qualities. So these qualities represent Krishna. So we see in this chapter and we'll see further in the next chapter also, in both the sections, everything represents Krishna. So it's very difficult to forget Krishna. But still we forget. Everywhere is Krishna. Everything represents Krishna. We see so the sun represents Krishna. We see the moon represents Krishna. We drink water. The taste of water is Krishna. So Krishna is everywhere. So this knowledge is there so that it's very easy to become Krishna conscious. So this human form of life is only for this purpose. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Is there any questions we will take? Yeah.